I am so excited that the summer season is finally here. I love summer. I love the nice weather. I just want to be outside and not hassling inside with what to cook and what to eat for every single meal, which is why Factor is my go-to for all of my healthy, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes that take the hassle out of eating well. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat and are perfect for any active lifestyle for summer and beyond. With 45 weekly meal options, you can pick gourmet meals that fit your summer goals. You can choose from options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day from sunup to sundown with those nutritious breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. Factor has your whole day covered. I've absolutely loved having Factor in my life. It's made the decision-making process on what to eat and how much time I need to be in the kitchen so much easier. So get started at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off and use code barbknowsbest50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code barbknowsbest50off at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off for 50% off plus free shipping. factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off. Hi, Mom. I'm so happy to be sitting here and chatting with you again today. As always, talking about life's most interesting and meaningful topics. And today I feel like we're going to dive into something that's pretty prevalent and I think will affect a lot of our listeners and viewers. But I think it's tricky to navigate and to work through and to understand and to put into practice. And so I'm really excited to hear your perspectives, to chat about our personal experiences, and hopefully give some tips and takeaways and tools for our lovely audience. So I'm super excited. How's it going?
I'm good. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
I'm excited to talk about this topic because I don't feel like it's one that's talked about a lot. In the most specific way that we may be talking about it today and using some of our own personal experiences. So, and I agree with you. I think it's going to be very meaningful and maybe help people understand what it means to be able to own your own truth and your voice and all of those things. So,
yeah. So I think often in our work, we've talked about intuition, gut instincts, listening to your inner voice, cultivating your own values and honoring who you are and what you want. And in theory, all of those practices make sense mentally. We know that those are things that can help us feel more satisfied and fulfilled in life. But as we often know, it's not always easy to take what we know in our minds to be true and put them into practice. And I think especially when we talk about using your voice, listening to your inner voice, leading a life that's in alignment with who you are and what you want, that requires bravery. That requires sometimes going against the grain. And of course, that's not always easy. So I'd love to hear your journey towards cultivating or listening to your inner voice, listening to your intuition, and what maybe that brought up for you on your journey to becoming your own best friend and connecting with yourself, you know, all along the way.
I knew this was going to be such a juicy topic.
Juicy.
Because there's a lot there. You know, I have to go way back. I think the first step is understanding that you do have an inner voice.
Well, I will interrupt you. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Because I, for a long time, when I started, you know, diving into personal development and self-help and learning about intuition, I actually thought like I was someone that was born without intuition. I would hear people talk about trust your intuition, trust what your inner voice is telling you. And I'm like, oh, I must be someone that just doesn't have that. There's something wrong with me. So I can really relate to that. And I think probably a lot of our friends out there can as well. So that's a great place to start.
Well, I did too. And when you think about my journey of alcoholic parents and the whole trauma and all of that as a child, and then, you know, bulimia, going into treatment, all that, I didn't have any idea there was something inside me. And I don't know if people feel that way, or I don't know if that's the natural or the usual way that people, you know, come into the world thinking that everything is external and, you know, what could possibly be internal, you know, is there actually a voice? And I think as you age, or as you, you know, become out of, you know, being a little child and growing up a little bit, you start to hear a voice, but it's always the voice in the head. Mm-hmm. And so I think we I know that I thought that that is the inner voice. That is the other voice, because this voice is coming out of the mouth and the other voice is in the thinking in the mind or in the head. So for the longest time, I thought it was the voice in the mind and the voice in my head that was the inner voice. So I'm listening to the voices that are in my head, and they're all negative. As we know, the studies that we've talked about so many times on these episodes, you know, 85% of what we think about is negative and it's repetitive and all the things, all that study. So I internalize that all of these negative thoughts and all these things that I'm thinking in the mind, coupled with the trauma or the chaos or dysfunction that I experienced as a child, that I don't matter. And so what I need to do is accomplish and do and be whatever the external world thinks that I'm supposed to be doing as a human being and as society tells me that I'm supposed to want and I'm supposed to be. So it took a long time. It took after treatment, you know, for bulimia and eating disorder and all of the things and therapy, it took a long time for me to understand, no, there's actually an inner voice inside of me that's like the voice of my heart. It's like, how can I actually be silent enough for a moment, at least to discover that voice? And I think I love talking about this because it doesn't mean you have to be quiet for extended periods of time. It just means once you identify that there is actually another voice in there speaking to you, you get it. So you can access it all the time, or you know it. Because as you said, you know, there's that Eastern Orthodox tradition that says it can take no time to get something into the mind. I can know something, I can read it and say, oh, I know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand that. But it can take a lifetime to get it into the heart. And so once you got it in the heart, or once you were able to access it, you can always access it. And you can't not access it. You can't not know that it's there. Once you know something, you can't really not know it. Yeah. Right. So it took a long time. And I feel really strongly, how do we discern what is the mind saying and how do we make the mind?
I was going to ask you this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Read my mind.
Oh, good. What is the mind saying and how do we make the mind our ally? And what is it saying that's not true? And what do we just discard and say, okay, you know, I heard you say that, but that's not real. So let me come back to what the voice within me is saying. Mm-hmm. And once you start to practice that, which is what we talk about so much and what I love to practice myself and teach, is the more silent you can become and really listen to the heart, and the more you stop listening to the thoughts in the mind and know that it's the heart and the voice within that leads, but then you use the mind for the discernment. So they come together.
I love that. I feel like I've heard you say this often in our conversations, you know, between each other, about discerning between, you know, your inner voice thoughts and your critical voice thoughts. And can you talk more about that? Because I think if I'm someone who's never stopped to think about spending time with myself in silence or connecting with myself and listening to my thoughts or listening to my inner voice, like you were saying, a lot of times the voices in your mind, especially gone unchecked, can be critical and judgmental and self-deprecating and doubtful and all of those things. So how can you differentiate between, you know, those thoughts and your inner voice thoughts?
So you said you didn't think you were intuitive.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way. And it wasn't until I started studying with teachers like Carolyn Mace, many mm-hmm. of you may have heard of her, and other intuitive speakers and teachers, until I realized that that's what they're talking about. The intuition is the voice. We say voice because what other word would we use for it? But the feeling, the gut, you know, when you get that gut feeling, oh my gosh, I really shouldn't do this right now. But the mind is saying, Barb, go ahead. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Just do it. And so it's like, okay, then I have that going on. The head is saying, oh, just jump in and do it. And the gut is saying, this is not really a good idea. The way I've differentiated is I pause. I don't take any action for a moment. I'm thinking, should I just jump in and do it? You know, just really just go for it? Is this really the thing that I've been waiting for my whole life or in my dreams or whatever it is? Or should I, wait, this really isn't in your best interest. Should I actually take a pause? So that's, I discern. And then I read this when I was, you know, many of you all know that I studied all the great traditions in the world. And so when I was studying Buddhism, it was said that the Buddha said that before you take an action, mm-hmm. you know, do what I just, you know, think about the mind, put the mind and the heart together and think about all the things. And before you actually take the action, cultivate the ability to see what are the consequences of the action. And I know this sounds like a elongated practice that I'm going to do this every single time, but no, for the things that really matter, that may be going against your values or that are in alignment with your values or whatever it is, knowing what you value most. So I really practiced that for decades. So then I do that. I look, okay, what are all the consequences? Mm-hmm. Is this something that I could take a risk and do? And if I fail, it's not going to harm me so much or humanity. I'm always in the equation is me first, then humanity, and it has to all go together. Mm-hmm. Or should I pause? And maybe this is, maybe life is telling me to take a baby step here. Maybe I don't go all the way to the end, even though that my desire and my dream and my goal will be to go all the way to the end, and all the little baby steps along the way, I'm confident in seeing that the consequences will be there. It's intricate, as you always say about life, it's layered.
Right.
So I feel like it has to be what you're feeling. But for me, the greatest thing that I have to do is look at what is the effect on my life and humanity around me, by humanity, family,
community,
the country, the state, the world, the people, my colleagues at work, my colleagues that I'm working with. It's like, okay, what if it's only going to serve me and many people around me will suffer, I won't do it. It's not about how can I get ahead. I just can't. It will go against my own integrity and my own values. If it serves other people, but it's not going to be in my best interest because I have to abandon some of my values or my integrity, I won't do it. Mm-hmm. So it always has to be where it serves the whole in some way, and that the suffering is mitigated. I know we're all going to suffer at some point in our lives from time to time, but it can't be where I can see the clear picture that it's going to cause suffering in one end or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think I've also heard you say often that, you know, your inner voice or intuition or that gut instinct will always be in a compassionate voice, or it'll come from a kind place or a caring place or a gentle place. You know, your inner voice isn't going to be self-deprecating or judgmental. So for many of us who are kind of just starting off on this, that's also a great way to differentiate, because we're going to hear our minds say, you're stupid, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, and just know that that's not, you know, the heart voice or the inner voice. That's, you know, to be technical or psychological, like the ego voice.
Yeah.
And so your intuition will be kind and caring and supportive and nurturing. And if nothing else, that's a great way to differentiate.
That is so beautifully said. And I think you
heard
just
it from you.
But the way you say the things that I've said is just like beauty to my ears. I can't even.
Beauty to your ears.
I don't know. Somehow you're able, I don't know if maybe it's my generation or just me, I use so many words, and you're able to put the words together that make so much sense.
Because I went to journalism school. Being concise was always the point.
But what I heard you say also that was so beautifully said was, you didn't think you were intuitive, which is where we started all of this. I didn't think I was intuitive, and probably most people don't. So we go see intuitive masters who can actually be intuitive, but also kind of teach us. But also the way we can learn ourselves is trusting your gut or listening to your gut. The gut is the inner voice. And the inner voice is always kind and loving and serving and humanitarian and all of the things. It always is. If you go into your heart, well, that's what the heart is.
Right.
So the mind is not. The mind is self-serving. The mind is the ego. The mind wants to get ahead. The mind has never been told that, wait, this is not what we do. I'm going to use this current language. We don't trash talk ourselves. I know you've never heard me use that word, probably. We don't trash talk ourselves. That's not what we're supposed to be doing in this lifetime.
Well, you often said train the monkey mind.
Yes, train the monkey mind, which is a famous one that's been said all the years that I've been around. So like we've never been taught to train the mind. So we just let it run amok. We just let it say whatever it is. And then we believe it because it's going all the time. It never stops. Mm-hmm. And we can't control what comes in. We can only control how we respond. And the way we respond is connecting to the heart. And that's how we know that we are intuitive. Mm-hmm. Like we already are intuitive. We just don't trust it. We don't check in with it. We don't listen to it. We don't even know it's there. We think it's, as I said, we think the mind is the inner voice, or we think that is the one voice. So yeah. I love that you said that. that is intuition, the voice, the kindness, the gut instinct.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's not always easy for us to lean into the practice of trusting ourselves, firstly.
Can I interrupt you? I just got a hit.
Yep.
When Tell you us. Say, how do we know that the inner voice is always kind and all that kind of stuff? I just got it. So when you get hit in the gut, when you get that gut feeling, you take a deep breath, you say, oh my gosh, should I do that? It's like a fear almost, or it's like it stops you in your tracks, really, when the gut hits you. And what does the inner voice say? Pause. Mm-hmm. No, wait. You know, let's. So that's why you're pausing.
Yeah.
Like if you get the gut reaction, if you didn't have an inner voice, or if you didn't have some way of, wait a minute, you would just go jump in, or you would just go do whatever the mind told you to do. But the gut is your, I don't want to call it protection necessarily, but the gut is the interceptor.
Right.
The gut says, wait a minute, the mind's telling you this. And that's the inner voice. I'm trying to help people. You want to help. You were saying we want to help people connect to that intuition. That's it. You get the gut feeling. You got it.
And then you pause.
Yeah. And then you just say, wait a minute. And then you start to discern like, wait, the mind said this, but the gut said this. Which one do I want to believe? Mm-hmm. And take your chances and believe the gut first if you're just doing this for the first time.
Yeah. That's a great point. And I think it's not always easy for us to learn to trust ourselves. We've talked about trust. Learning to trust yourself, your instincts, your intuition, you know, after years probably of not listening or going against your own inner voice or your intuition, starting to practice it isn't easy. It's a little scary. It's uncomfortable. And I really loved what you said to me before we hit record today about, you know, we talk about knowing what you value and knowing what you want and listening to your inner voice to help guide you in that direction. But you said to me, it's not always easy to know what you want. And I think that was a really powerful statement because it's true. I spent so many years of my life saying, I don't know, I don't know. I wrote about this in my book in an entry, but me saying I don't know to you all the time was like nails on a chalkboard. It was one of the most irritating dynamics for us. You were like, no, you do know. Stop saying you don't know. But if you've reinforced that for so many years, it's hard. And so you had a very powerful reframe of, if you don't know what you want, how can you approach it in a different way?
I love that you brought up that example because that is true.
Yep.
But then how did I reframe that before I got to what I'm going to talk about next?
Remember, two reframes?
Yeah, two reframes. Well, remember I used to say that. And then finally I said to you, Michelle,
yep.
We kind of took a pause. Michelle, what if you did know what you wanted?
So irritating.
What would
it be?
I
hated when you would come back to me with
that. I know you did. If you did know what you wanted, what would it be? And we just kind of sat there for a moment in silence. And you always came up with something. You always said something. I don't know if it was coming from your heart, your head. You just wanted to
be over
it and get me out of the situation, Mom. I need to shut you up.
Yeah.
But you always said something. And I think it was in, I don't know, one of the retreats that I was on, and I was thinking about this very thing because I also have issues in the early days. What do I want? I just know that I wanted to be successful. You know, all the things I've talked about in my book and all the things on the show.
Well, there's a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure.
I mean, we think about the Mary Oliver quote, like,
yes.
What are you going to do with your one wild and precious
yes.
life? And while that's truly an inspirational and aspirational quote, if you're someone like me or maybe like you that feels pressure by that, I don't know. If this is my one wild and precious life, how am I supposed to know what to do with it?
Yeah. And so I think the other reframe that you're referring to is, it was easier for me to know what I didn't want. It was easier for me to make a list. What don't I want? Mm-hmm. And you know, that can be material and it can also be, you know, internal.
Emotional.
And what don't I want? And what kind of relationships don't I want? And what kind of people do I not want as my inner circle? You know, all of the inner things, we're so used to looking at external things, you know, I don't want this or I don't want that. Physically, but what do internally, what is going to bring joy or what, who are the people that I treasure in my life, who are trustworthy, who are the people that I'm people pleasing that really aren't the people in my life, but for some reason I think they should be, you know, forcing some kind of relationship. I really went through a deep dive for years
sorting
out who were my people. And then I, You know, I didn't really have any friends at all growing up. I had no friends in school. So I didn't really understand, and with a dysfunctional family, I didn't understand what it meant to have a true relationship with someone that was trustworthy or that I loved dearly. Not that I didn't love my family and people dearly, but that I loved them, that I could actually be my authentic self, that I could actually speak up, mm-hmm. as we're talking about today, speaking up, and be who I am and not worry about they're going to hate me or they're going to leave me. Abandonment was a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
So it took a long time to sort all of that out. And what did that mean for me? And I think knowing what I didn't want to have to people please anymore. I wanted to feel confident. I wanted to be in alignment with who I am. And I started unfolding who I am when you start getting rid of what you're not.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck, that's a really, I don't want to say easy because nothing in life is easy, but it's a really sure way mm-hmm. that you will get to where what you do want and what you do value and what matters to you, and you're not willing any longer to put up with people pleasing or disrespect, mm-hmm. you know, or people crossing your boundaries or any of those things that, you know, it ruffles all of our feathers when we have people that are not being respectful or honest or true to us.
Yeah. That's so true. And you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about just my personal journey and uncovering my values and what I want for my life and what matters most to me. And, you know, we've said this on the show, but I spent probably a majority of my 20s kind of trial and error, trying things out, doing different things to try and see what I want or what mattered to me or what my path was. And it was a confusing time because I made a lot of choices that seemingly went against my intuition or what went against my gut instincts or my judgment or what I was kind of knowing to be true. But I think it's also almost an inevitable practice as a young adult that we do have those experiences where we make the wrong choices or we choose the things that maybe we think someone else expects of us but aren't what we really want, because it's in those moments where we do learn, oh, that isn't for me. Oh, this kind of environment doesn't suit me, or this kind of pressure isn't right for me. And so I used to have a lot of judgment about that time in my life because I did go against that inner voice and kind of silenced it with relationships and everything, really. But even just sitting here now and reflecting on it, I feel, and I have a lot of gratitude for it, because like you were saying, it did show me what I didn't want. And that got me to the path of back to myself and, okay, now that we've gotten all of this out of the way, all of the trial and error, all of the, you know, mediocre choices, now we can start from this place of connecting with self and then really figuring out what you do want.
Well, and that also goes in alignment with One Wild and Precious Life. You start to really, oh, now I get it. I get now. I do have a choice, and I can actually cultivate and create this precious life that I have.
But I also think I used to wish away that period. Yes. And I actually think that we all kind of have to go through that to some degree of uncovering who we are and making the wrong choices and going against the grain or going against what we think is the right choice, because that's how we learn. And so it's really shifted a lot for me, even in recent times, that I don't even regret that, or I wish that someone else, like, you know, learn from my mistakes, because I think we all have to go through it and have those moments where, oh, that choice wasn't for me. Now I know, and I'm going to choose differently.
And I think it also builds confidence when you're connected within and not only relying on the external world for your self-worth and for your sense of accomplishment and sense of creativity even. I think it builds the confidence, like once you are connected to that, or once you know that it exists, when that happens, you can have the gratitude, like, wow, I really feel good about this, that I can now let go of something that wasn't actually serving me and was making me miserable from the inside out, or was causing me a lot of stress or causing me a lot of suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that idea that we can cause our own suffering.
For sure.
You know, life already does it for us, but then we can add on to it and pile on to it. Because if we think about what we're talking about, Michelle, wasn't it Einstein who said, I don't exactly know the whole quote, so I don't know, know if the numbers are correct, but you all can Google it. But wasn't it Einstein who said, I made like 175,000 or 650,000, whatever mistakes in mistakes that led me to my discoveries.
Right.
Like he didn't just wake up one day and I'm going to do this and it's going to happen. And I think that's the mistake we make in life. There are some, I won't go as far as to say that there are no paths forward in an instant. I won't say that because that's not my place and I don't know that to be true. But I will say, in every experience that I've ever had and any other human that I've ever been in contact with deeply, mm-hmm. it's baby steps. It's taken. He knew what didn't work, so then he did it again. Einstein knew this didn't work, so now let me try this. And this didn't work, and let me try this. But he didn't lose the confidence in himself. That's the whole thing that I really think is valuable. He took one step at a time and didn't think that I'm going to go 0 to 60 in 1 second and be... and that's going to be it. And if I don't accomplish it, I'm a failure. Mm-hmm. He really thought it through, knowing that that is not life and that's not the reality of life. So I think we have to have that truth, a basis of truth.
And realistic expectations.
And a basis of truth in life. Like, it does take time. It does take steps. It does take you being connected and thoughtful and, okay, I'm going to do this. And it's a baby step. And not losing your own trust in yourself and your own confidence in yourself and your own faith in yourself, but also understanding that you're going to learn along the way what to let go of. So Einstein let go of the things that didn't work. We're going to let go of the people in our lives. We're going to let go of the jobs in our lives. We're going to let go of the ideas or the egotistical, talking about the mind and its thoughts in our lives. We're going to let go of those things that we know for sure don't work. And because we know that because our gut is saying, Barbara, you tried this 10 times and you've been asking this person 10 times, you know, to be your friend or whatever it was I was doing. I could just think of a relationship right now, like you really wanted them to like you. Mm-hmm. And they are showing you every which way they possibly can that you are not for them.
Hmm.
So it's just, you know, when you wake up to the truth, then I think that's what Einstein was trying to teach us in that. And I would definitely Google it. He's got a fascinating story because we respect all these people that are so accomplished.
Right.
We do respect external accomplishments. So let's go dive deep into how these external accomplishments actually got accomplished.
The road taken to get there. Yeah,
the road less traveled.
Your favorite book.
The Path. And if you trust in yourself, your confidence grows. I wanted to just say that.
Like, yeah.
I think maybe I did say it, but you can't lose the faith and the confidence. Don't start doubting yourself. Where I started doubting myself along the way, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's
okay.
Is when I started going against my inner voice and my intuition. Oh, Barb, you're wrong. So I started listening to this head instead of continuing to anchor myself in here. Not that the mind isn't going to constantly tell me things that are false, but I needed, okay, yeah, but I don't believe that. What are you thinking down here in the heart? That's where every time I went wrong, it's because I listened to the head and went against my own truth and confidence, what I knew to be true.
Hmm.
Yeah, sorry. Interesting. I hope you know where your train of thought's going next.
I do. All good.
Okay.
I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. My mom and I have always been a big berry family, which means we've always had berries in the fridge, which is why I've been absolutely loving Washington Red Raspberries. They are the shortcut to delicious because Washington Red Raspberries are picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in bright, sweet tart flavor with no added sugars or preservatives. Just the good stuff. I've been loving having these frozen berries in my freezer so I can put them in smoothies, put them in baked goods, all of the delicious stuff without all of the fuss. These berries aren't a byproduct of fresh. They're crafted specifically to be frozen, which means they're better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. They're grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, and they're frozen with care to ensure the top quality and food safety. Plus, frozen fruit lasts longer, helps cut food waste, and is always ready when you are, which we absolutely love. You can find Washington Red Raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers like Kroger, Meijer, Winco Foods, and Costco. And always make sure to look for the product of the U.S. on the bag. They're also featured in popular products like Smucker's Uncrustables with red raspberry filling, as well as Smucker's Raspberry Jam. So, want to learn more on where to find American frozen red raspberries plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find participating retailers and inspiration for every meal, plus info on how those berries can go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environments right now. I had no idea. They're in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. But the good news is we don't have to suffer through this anymore because of Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's what's cool about them. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like hormonal changes or the environment around us. Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and they're dedicated to making women's lives easier. How amazing is that? And this means that they only use science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The biggest benefit of all of this, you can start to feel like yourself again. And this is what women mention over and over in their reviews online, and there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BarbKnowsBest at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code BarbKnowsBest for 15% off today. I think we all seek to try and age with grace and have a little bit more control over our aging process, which is why I've been absolutely loving getting results from my TrueAge test from True Diagnostic. TrueAge tests give us our biological age, which is different than our calendar age, because biological age is a powerful indicator of how fast we're aging internally, which directly predicts our risk for serious diseases. And here's why that matters. Research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, but it's also avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in our hands. It's driven by things like lifestyle, habits, and the environment that we're in, which means we do actually have a lot of control over it. I've loved getting my results from my TrueAge test because I learned how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was really eye-opening. The test was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, no doctor visit or big needles, just a quick, painless finger prick. I send it off in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, I got my detailed report about my aging and my health. Fast and hassle-free. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use our code LIFEHAPPENS to get 20% off your entire order or prescription. That's truediagnostic.com and use LIFEHAPPENS at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
I think, you know, when we talk about cultivating your inner voice, listening to your inner voice, making decisions on your life path that are aligned with who you are and what you want, like we said, it's not always easy to uncover those specifics. But you and I have found that when we connect with values, that's a great place to start and uncover what matters most to you. And I think values are a really interesting aspect of life to talk about because, you know, at least from my perspective and growing up, I heard about values of religion and society and community or family values, like the things that are placed upon you from the external world. Like, in our house, we value this, or in this community, we value this. And at least from my experience, I always felt disconnected from my values because they were placed upon me, or you're saying that I should value this, but that doesn't align with me, or that doesn't track. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that, one, values can change. They're fluid, just like life. Life is always changing. But two, values in a way that are meaningful and enriching for your life are the ones that really stem from the inside. And so I think when having this conversation about inner voice and how we can start to strengthen it, another great avenue to approach it is by uncovering values. And you and I have talked about this so many times in workshops and events and things like that. There's a practice of asking yourself important questions to kind of bring forth the answers about what we value. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want me to start?
Sure.
So, well, you talk about all the time that you talk to yourself.
Yes, all the time.
I mean, you actually talk to yourself physically.
All the time.
All the time.
But yeah, externally sometimes too. Like I talk loudly outside. Yeah, that's what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just internally, like
internally and externally.
Yeah, I talk to myself.
And I think starting a dialogue with yourself is a great first step. And asking yourself these questions of who am I, or what do I want, or in this moment, what matters most to me? I found that that question of today, what is the thing that matters most, is a really powerful question to ask yourself. Or what do I value in this chapter of my life? Because you can do that in a journal, or like you, out physically, externally. But when you ask yourself those questions, it's really interesting when you allow yourself to have the space for answers and without overthinking it, interesting, unexpected values or solutions might rise to the surface. And so if you find that you're stuck or aren't sure where to start, for me, that was a great place to start to engage in that inner conversation and uncover what matters most to me. And being fluid and flexible, knowing that maybe something that I valued in my 20s is going to change in my 30s and will change in my 40s and so on and so forth.
So I'm going to throw you a huge curveball right now. Like my heart is racing little bit. So yeah, it's very interesting when you get into talking about things of the inner heart. It's very interesting what can come up. So yes, that, first of all, I want to say that is a lifelong, that is the quintessential question of life. Who am I? So when you start that whole process, which is, you know, what, as you said, I was teaching you that, and we've talked about it so much, and we incorporate it in a lot of our work and our workshops. When you start that process, it opens up a door that you never expected could open, because you can't then close the door. It's going to always. So you start that question, you start that process. And so that question opens the door. But what I'm throwing the curveball in, it's a lifelong thing. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not, I'm going to discover who I am, and I'm going to know what I want, I'm going to have my values, and then I'm good to go, and I'm going to listen to my inner voice, and I'm going to do all of the things. So the curveball that I'm going to throw you is, listening to you talk, it just struck me, when I think about, you know, speaking up, when I think about being aligned with my values, and what are my values, I think what got me was when you were talking about, yes, religion and all the things we learn in the external world about what we value is so different than what we uncover and understand what we ourselves value. Mm-hmm. So I lasted 33 years in a marriage that, you know.
Yeah, I was there too.
Yes, exactly. That I knew three. I mean, maybe even sooner, but the intuition and the gut was speaking up way longer than 33 years of existence. And so when I think about all of that in this context, the idea that I knew 3 to 4 years in, who am I? I was already asking that question when I got out of treatment. But when I think about, okay, what do I value? Because I'm starting to realize things that are happening I don't value, or this is not, I'm not in alignment. I'm not in a place where I value. It can take. Mm-hmm. It can take a long time to get to, okay, so what steps do I need to take? And it's so, I'm so grateful that once you do discover who am I? What are my values? Even if you've taken some steps that are not in alignment or they're not what you discover, wow, this is truly out of alignment for me. This is truly not my value. You don't have to upend your whole life in that moment. There was a part of me when I'm thinking, okay, now what? And so the beauty of having that inner voice and having kind of the, I look at it as my guide as well, because I have my meditation practice and mindfulness practice. Okay, now what? What are some of the steps that I can take? And I never thought it would be some of the steps that I can take to get divorced, which is what ultimately ended up happening a couple of years ago. But what are some of the steps that I can take to start bringing myself back into alignment? Where in my life can I start coming back into alignment, even though I know this life decision I made here is not for me? But can I start doing, instead of trying to change that, because I know that I can't change someone else, how can I start looking at myself and what are ways that I can start incorporating other things into my life? What are some of the, as I look at what are the consequences and looking at all of the cards on the table that I have to play, what are the ones that I can play that I know are going to lead me to where it is that I have to go because that's who I am, mm-hmm. and that are not going to upend, you know, other people's lives or not upend my own or whatever it was that didn't seem like it was going to be a flow. And I think when I think about that, I would never have said this 2 years ago because it was sheer hell and, as you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of the 33 years were sheer misery for you. I know that for a fact, and I know that for me. But I think as I look back on it, I think going on what you said, once you've experienced it, you have some gratitude for it. You're actually grateful for the relationship you were talking about. I wouldn't say I would ask for this to happen again. And this is what I want people to really understand. Whenever you and I say we're grateful for the suffering or we're grateful for what we went through, we're not saying, oh, you know, please serve that to me again. I think I want that.
Right.
We're saying, no, I'm not going to step. Hopefully I've learned from this and not going to step foot into a situation like that again. But I'm grateful that I actually learned it and grew from it and actually can get to the end of my life in alignment, being who I am, having that inner knowing and strength and confidence and beauty that I've lived a well-lived life in alignment with who I am. So I say all of that, that it's very interesting to me how much as I've grown and gotten older, that I do treasure the wisdom in staying in alignment, but also looking at all the other ways I can continue to be in alignment as I push through. And when you talk about values, it's the last thing I'll say on this. For me, the values are, it is unacceptable for me to ever harm, do anything disrespectful or harm to other human beings in my life, in my decisions that I make. And so when you find those red lines that you cannot cross, then you have to start looking at, okay, what are the steps that I can take to mitigate that, because life is so much full of suffering and harmful to people. I don't know if that makes any sense, but the curveball was that, yeah, I mean.
Well, I think that's a great point because, again, we talked about this before we started recording, and it's an important point to make here that so often when you start to cultivate your inner voice or your intuition or learning that maybe something that you're engaging in right now is out of alignment, whether it be a job or a relationship or a community or anything like that, it's not always easy to just make the change right then or immediately dismantle your life and upend, especially if you have a family or if you have people that are relying on you for income or house, you know, any of the basic human needs. And so that is a great point to make and an important point to differentiate that speaking your truth and listening to your inner voice isn't about acting without discernment or with before taking the pause, like you said, from the Buddhist or from Buddhism, that thinking about the road and the consequences of the action or of the things that you speak.
And if you can kind of visualize it, it even makes it more real.
And I think the example of your marriage for 33 years and just hearing that you're 3-4, maybe before, that's not news to me.
Did that surprise you?
Well, yes and no, because, you know, I've talked about this for so long.
I know.
It was not a peaceful journey, and so for sure. But I think it's powerful to know that, yes, you could have had that intuitive hit at that point or maybe before and had it reinforced time and time again, but you were also listening to your gut instinct or intuition of maybe it's not time to make a change, or maybe I need to do this or try this, or yes, this might be your end goal, but here are the steps that you need to take before this, making this step. And doing things, taking actions and speaking your truth in a way that's in alignment to you, but that also doesn't, like you said, harm yourself or add on to your suffering. You know, saying something that could then have consequences, or doing something that could, you know, harm your own well-being. Really being discerning and insightful about, okay, is this really the action that I want to take right now? And in the case of your marriage, maybe you knew, I mean, I don't know how long you knew that like divorce was the final outcome, even if you had whispers or intuitive hits, but you also knew that you weren't being given maybe the sign or the gut hit to take that specific action. And I remember I had a friend a few years ago when I was kind of in a limbo period of my life where I didn't know what to do. I actually think it was about re-signing an apartment lease, which has always been hard for me. I always have an inner battle of whether or not I should stay or I should go. And she was talking to me and I was just agonizing over it, doing the whole pros and cons thing. And she was like, if you don't have an answer, yes or no, it's not time to make the choice. And I get sometimes we're pushed up against a wall and we have timelines that we need to make choices. But I really valued that insight and that advice, because in that moment, I didn't need to make the choice and the choice wasn't shown to me. And then as, you know, days went on and time went on, I was given more information that helped me to actually choose. And so if you're kind of stuck in an indecision or battling inside yourself of this or this, or I want to say this, or I want to do this, but I don't know, if you're uncertain, maybe it's not time to take an action. And maybe you need to just pause and wait a little bit.
I love that,
Michelle. And wait for maybe more insights or more information or something else to support you in making a choice.
I love that, because I think you said it perfectly clear. I did not have enough clarity 3 years in or 4 years in or whenever it is.
You were so young.
Yeah, you need all the information. And I think I want to make one little caveat. We're never talking about if you're in a abusive, violent situation. You know,
you don't
take the pause and you don't have to wait it out and you don't do any of those things.
Right.
If you are being totally abused and violated in any way whatsoever, seek all the help and all the information that you can get in the moment and make a change, knowing that that is in your best interest and you are not meant to be violated, abandoned, or suffered in that way. But I think when we're talking about regular, everyday life choices and things that we have to make, really getting clear is very, very important. And I think the other thing that you were saying that was so really struck me was this idea that we, if we can actually, for me, if I can actually visualize it, but also this idea that there isn't a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. There's not one person on this planet that knows everything.
Right.
And that knows how to do everything and that is right in everything and that can guide you all the way down the line. And that's a whole nother episode one day about how we allow ourselves to be, you know, thinking that other people know best for us, or thinking that we've got to just hook our wagon to, you know, the horses that know the truth or whatever it is we think. I know I come up with some weird things, I know. So that's a whole nother thing. But like, there's not one person that knows everything and there's not a one size fits all. And so I think it's really, really, really important, going back to the values thing, or going back to the, what is it that I truly, truly, truly want? And it doesn't mean right now, this moment. It can be. Like nothing is final. No feelings are ever final. No things are ever final. There is no, nothing lasts. Everything changes. There is nothing that is stagnant. There is nothing that stays the same. And I think if we get it's a fine line. I don't want to say you have time, because as I've gotten older, I keep saying to you, I've got fewer years left than I had on the
Well, you never know when your time is going to be up.
You don't know, but you want to live each moment from my values fully. So it doesn't mean, though, that, oh, I've got 20 years, maybe I'll make this decision later. That's not the case. And what I'm talking about, it just means you really can be in alignment with yourself at any given moment in your life, and it's never too late.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes, you know, I've talked about this before, that teacher of mine that I love so much, you know, James Finley, he says it sometimes, he said it often in life, but most of the time it takes what it takes. Mm-hmm. And it's given me a lot of comfort to think that, you know, because I really, as you know, really had a difficult time during that divorce. Not that I was getting divorced, because I knew that that was what the end goal needed to be, but that, how in the hell did it take me so long? What was wrong with me?
It's layered.
It's layered. So it took, was really beautiful salve for me and my heart and my soul and my body to think about it takes what it takes. Mm-hmm. And then to have the, wow, come out the other side 2 years later, I am free. Not only, you know, free from a marriage, but also free internally, because I'm much more in alignment with my values and how I want to live my life. Yeah. And you always say to me, Mom, you have so much more energy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a very energetic person to begin with. So
yeah.
I think being in alignment frees you up, but then also knowing and having the discernment, as you've talked about many times in life, and the clarity to what timing is right and where is it going to lead you to the optimal place that you need to be in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, that's such a good point. So, you know, piggybacking off of this story of intuition and divorce, and now that you're 2 years out of it, a couple years out of it.
2 years in August, yeah.
How has your relationship with your intuition or your inner voice changed, or how do you relate to yourself now that you're in this different space in your life? Or do you notice anything different with how you relate to yourself now that you're in a new chapter?
It's like a massive affirmation. You know, I've learned all of this for 40 some years, meditation, mindfulness, practicing, teaching for the past 20 or whatever, and teaching with you and working with you. And, you know, we teach all this, we know it, my intuition, my gut is telling me it's all true. But then there's a really magical thing that happens when it actually, you get to the end of the line of a desire or a goal or a value or what intuition or whatever. And it's like, wow, not only did it set me free, I'm more creative. Mm-hmm. I'm more spontaneous. I'm more fun loving. I'm more forgiving. I'm a lot more living more in the present moment. And it's kind of like I thought I was living in the present moment, being where my feet are and doing all the things, and I was. But there's like another level of it when you can kind of free yourself in that place of being totally in alignment with what it was you wanted your life to be. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the best way that I can describe it. There's an inner knowing that I have, you know, however many years left that I have, and I'm now with a blank slate, but a blank slate with so much wisdom and so much teachings that I know, and so much trust of myself, love for myself, care for myself, that I have a blank slate now to go, you know, do whatever it is that I want to do for these last however many years are left. And there's a joy about that.
I love
that. And I have such a beautiful feeling about, and such gratitude and such presence about doing that with you as well.
I love that. And I think too, what I often think about you in this journey of getting divorced and starting over and really having to change so much of your life is you bought that necklace that you're wearing kind of in the throes of it. And it says faith. You might not be able to see it fully on the screen, but it's an interesting story because you have always been someone where hope is your guideline or your North Star. You always have hope. You've mentioned throughout your childhood having hope for a better future, having hope for a better life for yourself. And during the divorce, you kind of switched from hope to faith because you had realized that hope felt a little too out of the present moment, and faith was a little more active and present. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
You're actually going to make me cry. yes, because for me, thinking about hope was, it was my, yeah, it was my
It's easy
foundation.
To lose hope.
It was my foundation. And hope is, I guess as I've, you know, when I turn into my late 60s now, I guess as I've gotten older, I've thought hope is for the future. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, and even younger 40s, even younger 50s, you know, hope, having never give up hope, because we don't want to lose hope. I'm not saying that I've disregarded hope, but it's like we have to have hope. But now as age is creeping up on me and now the divorce and like the freedom that I've, the newfound, more freedom that I've felt, I want to have faith that all of the things are going to come to fruition in this time that I'm here. Not that it probably will, but I have the faith that whatever does come, I've got what I need. I am confident. I'm a lot more trusting and more secure in who I am and what I want, because I started asking myself that question 40 years ago. So it's like this is the journey from when you first asked that question here in this episode to now. Mm-hmm. It's like, keep doing it, because you are going to build more and more confidence and faith and all the things, and like you explode when life brings you the things that almost brings you to your knees, but it actually opens the door to everything that you've worked for all these years. So, and then I also, in my Catholic upbringing, I learned this passage, faith, I'm going to cry, faith is the substance of things hoped for, mm-hmm. and the evidence of things not seen. And for, I have a very, very dear friend, very, very dear friend, who just passed away in the past couple of weeks, but she and I've been, she's in her late 90s, and she and I've been pen pals. We've been friends for decades, but we've been pen pals since COVID, mm-hmm. since the pandemic. And so we've gotten even closer and closer and closer and closer. And I remember out of the blue one day, I found, I used to do calligraphy and art in school. And out of the blue, I was going through some things as I was starting to pack things up, mm-hmm. you know, to move out from the divorce. And I found this calligraphy thing that I had done with a white dove and a yellow sun. And it had that.
You did that. You made that when you were younger.
And when I was in a junior in high school.
Because not many people know that you're an artist.
Oh, I know, because I've kind of abandoned that a little bit, but or not a little bit, a lot. But anyway, I made it, and I remember keeping it. And for whatever reason, I went to a framer after COVID, and I had it framed. Mm-hmm. And we had lunch, and I took it to her. And she was going through a few things. But anyway, it just meant a lot to her. But I, as I've thought back since the divorce and since all the things, I've thought, wow, it wasn't an accident, Barb. So this is the intuition and the hit. It wasn't an accident that after all these years you found this, it had a little tear in it, it was kind of ruffled on the edges. You found this, and it wasn't an accident that you gave it to your dearest 90-some-year-old friend in that moment, because she hung it in her room, and she would say to me often, you know, I read that every night before, I see that every night before I go to bed. And I think about my life today and how I'm living my life today, and I bought this necklace. So it's like all of those things that have transpired and all of this that I'm talking about right now didn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It happened in a sequence of events that I could never have planned if I tried. And it all unfolded in such the most perfect way.
That's really beautiful. I love that full circle. And I think, you know, as we close up this conversation and thinking about listening to your inner voice and being able to speak your truth, a lot of it comes down to having faith in yourself. And faith is an active practice of being present and taking the actions that you're being guided to take in the moment, discerning what is and isn't the right choice for you, and being gentle and having grace for yourself in the process, because none of us are going to be perfect. We're not going to live life without making mistakes. And it's what we do and how we learn that matters most. And I, you know, I love that story that you just shared can you repeat the quote again?
Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I think too, Michelle, just to add to that before you close up, is that when we're talking about speaking your truth or using your voice or speaking up, it is just as powerful. And I'm not saying you don't speak outwardly, because you and I are both very strong outward people. You have to speak up and use your voice outwardly. And I just want to, I really want to make it known that speaking up inwardly is just as powerful. And you need both. You need to speak inwardly and you need to speak outwardly. And that helps you become so in alignment with who you are. But constantly speaking to yourself, and I know I take it to the extreme of talking to myself all the time, but speaking up and reaffirming to yourself, wait, this is what I value. That's why I talk to myself all the time. I am my greatest advocate, because if I say or do something, my inner voice will say, well, Barb, what do you think about that? Like, I have a whole dialogue with myself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's set the groundwork for the actions and the really meaningful things that I do in my life today, that you and I do so much in our lives today together for speaking out. So it's not like one has to happen before the other. They can happen simultaneously, but I would really encourage everyone to do both. Mm-hmm. Have an inner speaking voice and an outer speaking voice. And really all the magic happens in what it is that you're looking for in your life and how it is you want your life to unfold and how you want to affect humanity and how you want to affect the people around you and all of the things you want to do. I think it's so important.
That's great.
And meaningful.
So to close, I have a quote from one of your favorites. Mm. You've referenced her probably on almost every episode of the show, but this isn't a quote.
She's the queen.
She is the queen. But I don't think this is a quote that we've shared of hers yet. So I'm excited. From Maya Angelou, who I think perfectly encapsulates this conversation into one soundbite. And she says, when you know your worth, you don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to become rude. You don't have to become vulgar. You just are. And you are like the sky is, as the air is. The same way water is wet, it doesn't have to protest. And so I think what she's saying is just when you know who you are, your being emanates, and that's a powerful way to live. So something to think about. And thank you, Mom, for sharing as always and giving insights from your experiences on cultivating and speaking from a strong inner voice. I think I've learned a lot, and I think our listeners and viewers have as well. So grateful for you.
You know what? There's one more thing, and I usually don't do this, but I just, something came into my mind. There's a saying, or there's a quote, who you are, I think it comes from Rumi, who you are speaks so loudly, sometimes words are not even necessary.
I love it. Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you.
Love you.